that since we have forgiven our debtors, lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, our Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Virgin, Saint Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, at all times, at the hour of our death. Amen. Yeah, good evening, everybody. Rupa, do you have any announcements, please?
Nothing much, Sachin. Today, Manju from Austin will be assisting in Bible reading. And we'll be going through chapters 27 and 28 in this class. And that's it, as in rest of the announcements, I'll make it towards the end of the class. Thank you.
Okay, Manju, welcome. So let us start without much delay. Can you please read 27, 1 through 8, please?
Definitely. Thank you, Achim.
Please.
Acts 27, Bartimaeus. And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some of the prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. So entering a ship of Adramyttium, we put this meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us, and the next day we landed at Sidon. And Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. When we had put to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board. When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty of Cnidus, the wind proceeded, we sailed under the shelter of Crete of Salmon. Passing with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Haven near the city of Lycia.
Thank you. This portion, this is highly interesting because Paul is starting his journey to Rome, and this is written with all kinds of literary devices. So it is really neatly written. So that shows also how much talented St. Luke is in his literary skill. And, on the eastern coast of the Mediterranean Sea, up until the west coast of the Mediterranean Sea, there had always been commercial relationships between states and cities, and small ships used to move from one place to the other. A lot of ship commutes had been happening, and most of these ships were carrying stuff from one city to the other city, so the trade was a big thing. And all these ships used to sail with and through the help of wind. They can use the sail in a very clever way so that the ship will go on both directions with the same wind. However, the problem is that these kind of sails invite a lot of dangers as well, because you need to really, really cleverly control the ships. Otherwise, one ship can go and hit the other ship. And if the wind is really strong, it is so hard to control the ship. So, a lot of dangers were there at the same time. And when we go through this chapter, we have to also understand that Luke is presenting Paul and his journey to Rome in and not just as a travelogue. Rather, this is a spiritual narration. Paul is being presented as a spiritual leader, not just a prisoner being transferred from Caesarea to Rome. So please keep that in mind. And also, we have seen in chapters 26, 24, 25, 26, and 25 and 26, we have seen that Paul has been deemed, innocent by Festus, King Agrippa, Herod Agrippa II, and all these people. And Paul had actually appealed to Caesar, and therefore, because of that very reason, Paul is being transported from Caesarea to Rome as if he were a criminal. But he has privileges. And this privilege is interesting, that he was assigned to a centurion, a big military officer who is in charge of 100 soldiers. And this centurion was taking care of Paul. But this centurion was very kind to Paul. And also keep in mind that there were people along with Paul who were sympathizers to Paul. And all these narrations, for instance, verse 3, and the next day we landed. Who is this we? That we is clearly mentioning, we heard it already, and that we includes Luke, the author of this book and text. So, and that we is interesting. We know that Luke accompanied Paul up until Caesarea, and from there he went to Jerusalem. And when Paul was brought from Jerusalem to Caesarea back, Luke started accompanying him. In chapter 21:18, we read about that. I mean, chapter 21 of the Acts of the Holy Apostles, we read about that. And therefore, we assume that the journey started from Caesarea to Rome. And they came to a city called Myra, verse 5, a city called Myra in Lycia. I hope you all know this city, Myra, by the name of a great bishop. And that bishop is none other than Nicolaus. Nicolaus of Myra, who later became so popularly known as Santa Claus. So that is the city of St. Nicholas. But that city was a Christian city by that time. And in Myra, the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he gathered everyone and put them on board. And they slowly sailed from there for many days. At the same time, I would like to introduce Aristarchus a little more. He was seen, and he was mentioned by Paul in Colossians chapter 4 verse 10, Philippians chapter Philippians chapter 3 verse 24, and 27 chapter 2, chapter 27 verse 2 as well. And Sidon, we have already known from in the map as well. Sidon is around around 65 to 68 miles north of Caesarea. And it means that they are sailing adjacent to the land. So if something happens, something goes wrong, they could always go get to the land for the safety. And they cross the Mediterranean through Sidon, and they go through and behind Cyprus, and from there they go to Myra, and in Myra they change the ship to go to Rome. And this is an Alexandrian ship. And why is an Alexandrian ship? That means the ship coming from Egypt. Because Egypt was the granary for almost all entire Roman Empire. Wheat came from Egypt. And always ships were traveling from Egypt to Rome Alexandria to Rome and Rome to Alexandria. So that's why this ship always touched base at Mura. So Mura became a very important port city in the map of the Roman Empire. And keep also in mind, Alexandria was also part of the Roman Empire. The relationship between Cleopatra and Caesar, and then later Mark Antony, that connection made Alexandria part of Roman Empire too. And there, Paul suggested, I mean, they had two options in front of them. Either wait in Mura up until the weather becomes favorable, the wind becomes favorable, or sail right immediately, go through the west of Crete, and then go straight through Salmon and sail to the west. Which is the better option, they were thinking. And they chose the second one. That means slowly sail through Fair Haven, sail up to Fair Haven through the west of Crete, through the south of Crete, and sail to the west. So we can go further. Yeah, Manju, I have a request. If you could chant these verses, not just read, that would be better.
Sure. Please. Thank you.
29 through 26, please.
Definitely. Baltimore, now when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to wintering, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose, called Euroclydon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive, and running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the Cyprus sand, they set the sail and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me, and not have sailed from Crete, and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island.'"
Thank you very much. This is extremely crucial time in the journey of Paul and his colleagues. Or Paul and his authority people towards Rome. In the Mediterranean, during certain months, sailing will be totally difficult, almost impossible. The accepted custom was that nobody will be allowed to sail from September 14 through November 11, because this is the time that wind is really bad in the Mediterranean Sea. And also, in the beginning of October, there was a big festival of the Jews as well. So it is written here in verse 9, now when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over. That fast itself was of the Jews, and the fast was over, therefore sailing was difficult. And therefore, Paul is advising them, don't venture this sail. Stay in fair havens. But the people of the ship, they declined Paul's advice. They thought, when Paul advised them to stay at safe haven, fair havens, until the wind becomes favorable, that is until after November 11th. However, they declined Paul's advice. They wanted to go to Phoenix and spend the winter there, because the fair havens were not that favorable to spend the winter. And for a short moment, they thought the wind is favorable. They can reach Phoenix before the wind gets bad. However, when they reach, when they started, and they started sailing, the special wind called Euroclydon that came and hit the ship. And once the ship was hit by the wind, they had to take measures to save the ship, and they brought all the sails down and they tied down everything in the ship as well as the ship, because if the ship is being swayed in the wave, all that is stored in the ship will go all over the place. You might have already seen that in videos when a cruise ship is being hit by dangerous winds. We see that people people fly from one end to the other side. People get swayed and people get really hurt and damaged. And they somehow brought the ship to Clauda. A port on their way, and became impossible for them to sail any further. So they could do three things. And the sailors brought the small boat down, and they thereby kept that safe. Then secondly, they kind of tied everything down within the ship, and this was done by us. Luke is writing like that. That means not just the ship people, not just the sailors, but everyone who is traveling in the ship helped them, because it is the question of their own lives. And the third thing is that they were trying to take all measures so that the ship goes without control and go and hit the African shore. If they go and hit the African shore, that was full of quicksand. That is very dangerous. And they threw away almost all the all the stuff that they had within the ship. You know, in the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 5, we see the same thing. They threw away all the stuff that they had in the ship into the water. And that didn't help, and at that time Jonah said, throw me down. Similarly, they threw everything that they had in the ship. And the weather became such that the entire atmosphere was full of steam because of the heat and because of the humidity. that became really dark, a cloud, and nobody could see the sun, neither during the day, nor during the night. They couldn't see any moon, nor stars. That means it was total darkness. And the people really got, you know, into deeper trouble. And they were desperate. And they tried to spend their days in the ship, and many of them stopped eating and drinking. And in that highly desperate state, Paul is advising them. In verse 21, we see that Paul is telling them, you should have obeyed my suggestions. Why? Because Paul is not an amateur sailor. He had been sailing in the ship for decades and decades. He knew how to read the signs of the time and signs of the weather. But here, Paul is making statements because he had a vision. And the vision, he says that none of you will be in danger. In the second letter to Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 25, Paul is telling everyone that he was in shipwreck 3 times. And this is one of those. And he's saying, none of you will be hurt. It's only the ship that is going to be damaged. And Paul was very sure, because the Lord himself has shown him in a vision that he will stand in front of the Roman Caesar. So, can we read further, Manju, 27 through 44, please?
Definitely. Thank you, Acha. Once more, now when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day you have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. And in all, we were 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the reed into the sea. Barakimor.
Thank you. On verse 27, we are seeing two things. First of all, the ship is going without any control from there, from Clauda. And the ship is kind of going by itself, and the ship continued like that for 14 days. I mean, on the 14th night, the ship came and it got kind of hit onto the sand. And this area is called the Bay of St. Paul. That was named as Bay of St. Paul. And does it take that long to reach from Clauda to that particular place? And the answer is, it will. Because it was around 450 miles. And in order for sailing that long, people used to take around 13 days and more than 13 days time. So if it takes more than 13 days time, that means the 14th night is kind of acceptable. And secondly, we see another important thing. It is written Adriatic Sea. Adriatic Sea is the sea between, I'll say, between Italy and Yugoslavia, or between Italy and Croatia. Yugoslavia is no more. Croatia. Actually speaking, that is not what it is being mentioned here. It is not Adriatic, rather Adria. So the Orthodox Study Bible already saying it is Adriatic. It is not actually Adriatic Sea. It is Adria. The reason why it is being said Adria is that is the mouth of Adriatic Sea. And ancient times, that area was called Adria or Hadria. And you know, in verse 30, we see how Paul is informing the sailors. Paul is informing the the soldiers, like how the sailors are trying to save themselves. They brought the boat down as if they are trying to put the anchor down, but Paul informs them, and the soldiers came and cut the boat down, so that no sailor was able to save themselves, leaving the travelers there in the ship to die. And this is something, for instance, this is one thing that Paul did for the well-being of the entire group of people. And there were 276 people all together in the ship. And that made the centurion even more kind towards Paul. And no prisoner will be evading the control of the centurion either. And that is all very much an interesting thing, because the soldiers decided to kill all the prisoners so that none of them are going to be escaping from the ship. But the centurion was helped, and centurion was strengthened by Paul that nobody is going to die. And that is the great quality that we see in Paul. When things get tough, the tough get going. Paul is totally placing his hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God. And that is why in verse 34, we see Paul is encouraging everyone to eat. Because they were kind of totally hopeless. And as they were encouraged, Paul was kind of a leader, spiritual leader for that entire group of men. And that made the centurion definitely proud of Paul, and that is showing the integrity and genuineness of Paul. You know, C.S. Lewis writes that integrity is what you do when no one else is watching. Let me repeat. Integrity is what you do when no one else is watching you. Look at that. When nobody is watching over Paul, he could have saved himself, escaped from the ship, but he stayed steadfast to the call that God has called him. That is the greatness of this man, Paul. Thank you. We can carry on to chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, please.
Okay, I forgot to read from 39 to 44. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's what I said, and that is how it should have been. That's why I said 28 okay. Verses 1 through 10.
Okay. Definitely. Thank you. Sorry. Baltimore, chapter 28. At verse 1 through
10, please.
Yeah, thank you. Winter at Malta. Baltimore. Now, when they had escaped, they then found out the island was called Malta, and the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he has escaped the sea, the justice does not allow to live. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm." However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went in to him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways. And when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary, but more.
Thank you. You know, they came to the island called Malta. I mean, all of you know where Malta is. So the word in some versions it's called Melita, and others it's called Malta. And the word Malta means, hey, wait a minute, how do you translate Malta? Yeah, the word Malta can be said like it can be said as safe haven. That's how we can translate the word Malta, safe haven. And that is the name that Phoenician travelers usually give Phoenician travelers gave this name to this island. And in verse 41, we see that these two thieves, two thieves will come and join there. So it's kind of a V-shaped place. And it's a small island. 276 people. They reached Malta completely wet, tired, and it was a very painful thing for them to reach to the island. But the people of Malta, they welcomed them with a lot of thankfulness and happiness. They gave them fire, and they gave them food, they gave them drinks, and they kept on keeping that area warm by constantly letting the fire burn. And you need to add firewood into the fire repeatedly. And Paul was also participating in adding wood into the fire. And that is where this miraculous thing happening. He took a wood piece, tried to put into the fire, and a very poisonous snake started hanging down from Paul's hand. This snake is called, in Greek, this snake is called echidna. And it is in Syriac, it's called Oketno. Echidna is how it is called in Greek. In Isaiah chapter 59 verse 5, St. Matthew chapter 3 verse 7, 12:34, 23:33, St. Luke 3:7, all these biblical portions are mentioning about this serpent. In Mark chapter 16 verse 18, it is also said that if you have a strong faith in Jesus Christ, you will be saved of the poisonous serpents as well. And that exactly is what is happening in the case of Paul. Paul just shook his hand and the snake has fallen into the fire. But when the snake was cleaving on to the hand of Paul, the people of the island said, this man is a murderer. But as soon as the snake was thrown into the fire and nothing has happened to Paul, they thought that Paul is God. And this is very interesting how the judgment of people changes. The changes happen so fast. And we see that people have started calling him a god. And the leader or the ruler of this island called Malta, his name was Publius. He offered generosity and hospitality to everyone for 3 days. Because of that reason, Paul went ahead and healed the father of Publius, who was going through fever and dysentery. Paul went to him and prayed and laid his hand on him and healed him. Look at that. These things are very interesting, because Jesus says that you go and heal the sick. And when you go in my name, not even the poisonous snakes will harm you. That exactly is what is happening. And not just Publius and his father, but many were healed. And they honored him in multiple ways. And by the time when they departed, they made them happy with a lot of provisions. Can we read from 11 through 31, please?
Definitely. Thank you. Bartimore, after 3 months, they sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had been dead at the island, and landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. From there, we circled round and reached Rhegium, and after 1 day, the south wind blew, and the next day, we came to Puteoli, where we found brethren, and were invited to stay with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome, and from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Epiphorum and 3 inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Now when he came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. And it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, wanted to let me go, because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against us, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had anything of which to accuse my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. Then they said to him, we neither receive letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren come, reported, or spoken any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you what you think. But concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken against everywhere. So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning to evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, It departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke brightly through Isaiah the prophet, your father, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest should they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Therefore let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house, and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching the things which concern of Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Baltimore.
Thank you, Manju. Paul spent about 3 months in Malta, and the entire winter was spent in Malta. And by the beginning of February, they started their next leg of sail from Malta. And this is an Alexandrian ship, again. And this ship is called Twin Brothers. And why Twin Brothers? Why the name Twin Brothers? Because it was called Dioskoroi or Dioskoroi. That is how it is said in Greek. You know, we have a bishop called Dioskoros or Dioskoros. And it is the twin sons of the Greek god Zeus. And these two sons of Zeus, they were the gods of sailors. And when their emblem is on a ship, that ship would be safe in the sea. That is what they believed. And they came to Syracuse, Region, and Puteoli. And these three are ports. Syracuse was on the coast of Sicily, and Region was the southern end tip of Italy, and Puteoli was was in the Bay of Naples. And in Puteoli, there were Christian faithful, and they came, welcomed Paul and his co-travelers, including Paul, including Luke, and that's why Luke is mentioning this as well in the first person plural, we. And they spent about a week in Puteoli. And from there, they traveled through the land, and they come to the Appian Way. In 312 before Christ, this place, this road was made in honor of Appius Claudius, the Roman, the Roman leader or the Roman ruler. And it is on this road that Paul traveled to Rome. They might have been mostly walking, I think. And they came to 3 towns. And the Roman faithful Christians in Rome, they came to welcome Paul. And Paul was very happy to visit them as well, because Paul has been mentioning his interest to visit Rome multiple occasions. In Romans, a letter to the Romans chapter 1 verse 9, chapter 1 verse 9 through 13, chapter 15 verse 24, etc. In all these places he was interested in visiting Rome. And by verse 16, the first person's plural narration is ending. Does it mean that Luke stopped traveling with Paul from there? That is not true. In Philemon verse 24, Colossians chapter 4 verse 14, Paul is mentioning that Luke was with him even thereafter. In verse 16, Paul is given an extra privilege. He is no more with the regular prisoners. Rather, he is being given one individual guard and he is allowed to stay with that guard. However, we have to know that this is done in a very specific way. Paul will be tied, Paul's hand will be tied to the hand of this this soldier. So, it is a kind of prisonership as well. But he is given a special privilege to be with one person. He is given a little more privacy than it had been before. And he was allowed to stay outside outside of that that general area. For instance, he was he was permitted to dwell by himself with a soldier who guarded him. They could stay outside of the place where all the prisoners were. And there were multiple synagogues in Rome. And a big number of Jews used to live in Rome. And Paul used to visit these synagogues. And Paul used to visit synagogues in his missionary journeys. But here, Paul couldn't. Therefore, Paul is inviting all the Jewish leaders to come and visit with him at the place where he was. And 17 through 22, verses 17 through 22, we hear that. And then the second occasion is 23 through 28. In the first occasion, he is explaining to them like how he came to Rome. What was the context in which he came to Rome? He is trying to tell them that the Christian gospel is not against the Jewish religion. Rather, it is the fulfillment of Jewish traditions. However, the Jews of Rome, they were not understanding that teaching of Paul. Although Paul was not condemned to death by the Roman leadership, Paul had to appeal to Caesar. And why the Jews in Jerusalem didn't inform the Jews in Rome about what has happened over there? Because they knew that if they send any message about Paul to Rome, the Roman authorities will be even more kind with Paul and they will let him go. And there is one another reason as well. The Jews might have already known that their intention to kill Paul didn't work out because Paul was a Roman citizen. The Roman authorities were not anti-Christians at that time. Even the Roman Emperor Nero was not anti-Christian. In AD 62, a Jewish lady called Poleia Sabina, she became the Empress of Nero. She was a Roman citizen, at the same time she was a Jew. And from that time onwards, Nero changed his policy against Christians. And from AD 62 onwards, he tried to kill Christians mercilessly. And that is how Paul was killed. That is how Peter was killed. And while Paul coming to Rome in AD 58, it was not anti-Christian. Rome was not anti-Christian. And the Jewish leaders came to Paul, and he was teaching them or preaching to them about the kingdom of God, about Moses, about other prophets. And he said that these prophets and Moses, they all are teaching and revealing stuff towards Jesus Christ. And Jesus is son of David. But he defeated death. And the same thing he has written in chapter 1 verse 5 of his letter to Romans. A group of Jewish people were willing to accept Paul's teachings. However, the other group was not interested at all. And the same exact thing happened in his entire missionary journey. A group of Jews accepted it. But a big group of Jews, they would reject it. And that's why first Paul will talk and deal with the Jewish people, and then he will turn his face to the Gentiles. And even those who accepted Christianity among the Jews, they accepted it all by themselves, not as an official, state of that religious orientation. Paul is telling them a specific idea that is reflected in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 9 through 10. And that is, do not abandon the way of God. Do not sell the spirituality of your religion for any profit. And Jesus Christ himself is referring to this verses in St. Matthew chapter 13 verse 14, St. Mark chapter 4 verse 12, and St. Luke chapter 8 verse 10. And St. John chapter 12 verse 39 is also referring to Isaiah chapter 6 verse 9 and 10. In John 1:11, it is said that he came to his own and his own has not received him. In Romans chapter 9 verse 11, Acts of the Holy Apostles chapter 13 verse 43 and 46, chapter 18 verse 6, all these places, Paul is mentioning very clearly that first he turned to the Jews, but they rejected the gospel. And Luke is narrating that incident as the final separation between the Jews and the Christians. Paul was the first one who philosophically and theologically explained the existence of Christianity. And that existence was basing on the prophetic ministry of the Jewish Old Testament life. And that is where the gospel of Jesus Christ is encompassing. And therefore, what Paul is telling them is that the gospel is nothing new. It is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. That is exactly what we read in the fifth chapter of St. Matthew's gospel. And God is accomplishing everything thereby. You have to organize and order your life. And that order, taxis, is the gospel, which is equally important for Jews as well as for the Greeks, equally important for men and women, equally important for the free as well as the slave. There were people who thought that Paul's preaching was not clearly understood by Peter and everyone else. And Luke is not mentioning anything about Peter in this portion system. However, when we read the letter, second letter of Peter, chapter 2 verse 15 and 16, Peter is mentioning that Paul's thoughts and Paul's preachings were not that easily understandable, and therefore multiple people have misinterpreted him. And we have to thereby know that Peter knew Paul very specifically in Rome. Like we said earlier, Paul was tied with a chain. I mean, Paul was tied by a chain with another soldier. And he was tied down with this soldier for 2 years. Why 2 years? Because according to Roman law, anybody who has a complaint, who has an accusation against somebody, will have to make that accusation filed within 18 months. And if Paul had not been accused officially for 18 months, that means up until 2 years, he became a free man thereafter. And Paul lived in Rome in his own expense. Nobody paid anything for Paul. And where did this money come from? That's a very legit question. Luke is not mentioning how that money came. We can assume that many churches might have helped him, or he might have received his ancestral properties, which he has lost because of, assuming Christian faith. Multiple possibilities are there. And Paul might have been there for 2 years. That means by around 59, he came to Rome. 58-59, he came to Rome. So by 60-61, Paul was set free. And Paul became thereby free to walk around or go around. And he kept on doing his business, namely the gospel. Had he had ever got a chance to go to Rome? We don't know. Romans chapter 15, 24 and 28, he's alluding that he might have gone to Rome. To Spain. However, we do not know that exactly. Eusebius of Caesarea is mentioning about Paul's gospel ministry after he was set free. And he is saying that he was set free and he came back to Rome. Where did he go to come back to Rome? That could be Spain. And that is how the Acts of the Holy Apostle is ending. let me summarize what we discussed in this class today. In chapters 27 verses 1 through 8, Paul is coming up to Creta, and Luke is going along with Paul with other people, including Aristarchus, and the centurion was very kind with him, and he kept 2 years, he kept himself in Caesarea for 2 years, and in 57 he was there in Caesarea, and for 2 years he stayed there. That means by 59 he is leaving from there, and then the big tempest in the sea, and how dangerous the ship, the sailing was. The big winds, namely Euroclydon, and that hit him and everyone on the ship. But Paul is encouraging them, they will be safe, nobody will be dead. And the shipwreck, verses 27 through 44, Paul is encouraging the sailors to eat and be safe, and they're coming to Malta. The word Malta means safe haven. And the big events that happened in Malta, like the serpent is hanging down from Paul's hand, and the way in which Paul was treated like a god thereafter, once he was safe within the predicaments around Malta, and then he is coming to Rome through the three forts, and through Puteoli, which is in the Bay of Naples, and the three ports were Syracuse, Region, and Puteoli. And Paul is getting special privilege to be with one soldier, his hand is tied to the hand of the soldier. Paul is talking to the leaders of the synagogue, first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. And Paul is preaching the gospel to everyone. The Jews were not pressing the charges against Paul. In AD 62, this lady, her name is hold on a second. Yeah, in AD 62, this lady called Polia Sabina, she was getting married to Nero, and that is the time that severe persecution starts against Christians, and Paul eventually dies in Rome. But it is very well assumable, although it is not being said by Luke, that he went to Spain. So with that, this whole entire book is ending. If you have any questions, please raise them now.
If anybody has questions, please press star 5. Yeah, I have one participant who has raised their hand. I have unmuted you. Please go ahead and ask the question. Number ending in 8195. I have unmuted you from my side. Maybe you are on mute on your end. Please unmute and go ask the question.
Okay. What year was Paul martyred? And you first said Nero was not against Christians, but he was martyred by Nero. Second question is, did Paul write all his epistles from Rome? So many epistles that he had written. Did you write them from Rome?
Thank you. First of all, what I said was Nero was not against Christians in the beginning. However, in 62 AD, he got married with this lady called Polia Sabina, who was a Jewish lady, a Jewish Roman citizen, like Paul. And because she was Jewish, she has encouraged Nero to start severe persecution against Christians. And that is why Paul got martyred in 64 AD, along with Peter. So it started...
64 AD?
Yes.
What, can you repeat the name of the lady who got married to Nero?
Polia Sabina.
Sabina?
Yeah. In Malayalam, we call Sabina. Sabina in English.
Oh. And did you write all his epistles when he was in Rome?
No. He didn't write all epistles in Rome. He wrote some epistles from Rome, but not all. I do not remember exactly which are the ones that he wrote in Rome. Many of them, he, for instance, the Epistle to Romans, he didn't write in Rome. It was written at other place. Maybe the Epistle to Corinthians, that might have been written while he was in Rome. I do not exactly remember which are the ones. I'm sorry about that.
You know, the reason I asked was because we didn't hear for writing any epistles before his trip to Rome. So
yeah,
I was wondering.
Okay, now I get it. You know, Luke is not mentioning about Paul writing epistles. Anyway.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that Paul didn't write. He wrote those epistles, but that is not the intention of Luke. Luke is writing this as the continuity of the gospel that he wrote. So Acts of the Holy Apostles is not a historical book. Rather, it is a theological book as the continuity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
It is a theological book, not a historical book. And therefore, Paul's writing letters to various places, various cities and various churches is not of an importance to Luke. Luke is interested in telling us, just like the gospel is also not a historic book. Although many historical factors are there in the gospel, similarly, Acts of the Holy Apostle is also not a book of history. It is a theological book. And that is why I was repeatedly mentioning how salvific the whole life of Paul is. I think I'm making sense, do I?
Yeah.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Ajahn.
I like you asking questions because, you know, I always said that if nobody is asking anything, it becomes kind of monotonous even to me. So how much more it would have been monotonous for you all, I can just imagine.
Okay. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Acha. We have one more question.
Wow. I won lottery today.
Yeah, I have unmuted. Please go ahead and ask question.
Yeah, Acha, this is Gina Matthew from Sacramento.
Yes, I know you, my friend.
I was looking at the map you had sent, you know, the very first map you sent. You mentioned that Malta is called safe haven, right?
No. Malta is not safe. Yeah, it is translated as safe haven. Not its name is safe haven. The meaning, yes. Malta, the word's meaning is safe haven. In Malayalam, we can call it Sangeram.
Oh, okay. So it's just a place of a safe harbor or...
Yes, correct.
Because it is like in the middle of the sea, it is a small place. Is that why?
That's right.
Okay, so I was just looking at the map, and then Crete, there is a place labeled as Fair Haven. So I was just wondering, you know, is there any particular meaning in why all these places, or that seems to be an actual place. It's a Fair Haven.
Correct. Fair Haven, you know, we read, let me take that verse. They came to Fair Haven. It is on chapter 27. Yeah, chapter 27, verse 8. The city is called Fair Haven, near Lycia. You see that? 27,
mm-hmm,
verse?
Yes.
So that is different from Malta.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
In Malayalam, we call it Creta. And Fair Havens is all the way south of Crete, right in the middle, south of Crete.
Okay. I mean, I was just wondering if there is a reason
no,
why...
No.
Okay.
And look in the map. look in the map, all the way down to the west, you see Malta, a small island.
I saw that. Yeah.
And look at that. This entire sea is coming, and Malta is kind of a fair haven. Not a fair haven, safe haven, not fair
safe haven.
Haven.
Safe haven,
yeah.
Safe haven.
Yeah. The word Malta means safe haven.
Oh, okay.
In Malayalam, we can call it like a Sangeetam.
Sangeetam, okay.
And from Malta, they went to, they went west through the western coast of Sicily. They are sailing and they are coming to Puteoli. You see Puteoli to the west of Naples. And then from there, they are traveling by road to, Forum Appi. And then three towns, you see that in the map.
Yes. Is that the same as the three inns that's in the Bible?
Yeah.
Is that the
correct.
Same? Okay.
Three inns or three taverns. Same.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Achan.
You're welcome. Yeah. Gina, have you been to Rome?
No, I haven't.
Oh, well, that is a place to go and see. I've been to Rome. I traveled in Italy. If you walk through these places, you will have, you know, incredible goosebumps. Incredible goosebumps. And from three taverns to Rome, it is just 40 kilometers. And that is where they have a number of catacombs. Those people who were brutally, brutally tortured and killed, they were all put in these catacombs. Incredible place. My God. Mm-hmm. I would encourage everyone to travel to Rome once at least in life to see the life of Paul and how much suffering he had to get to witness the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for reminding me all these experiences. I have goosebumps when I'm talking about them.
Thank you, Achan. Thank you both Dina and Auntie for asking questions, and thank you, Achan, for patiently answering it. With this class, we are concluding our New Testament classes in English for this year. Jacob Matthew Achan has been teaching us chapters in the second half of Acts of Apostles during the past few months. Achan has systematically taken these chapters in 12 classes, explaining the details in a verse-by-verse method, which was well appreciated by our members. And one major change which we brought into our Bible classes was the Q&A session towards the end of the class. Achan had insisted and repeatedly encouraged our members to come forward and ask questions. And he always told me that there should be some way to interact with participants. And as a result of that, we started having these Q&A sessions. And the idea was well received by our members, and it made our classes very lively. Also, during the classes, Achan guided us on how to chant Bible rather than reading it, and reminded the significance of saying Barak more in the beginning and ending of the reading portion. These are minute things which we often don't do, but it was good that we all got more familiar with it through Achan's classes. While taking each chapter, Achan always pointed out different dimensions of what was discussed, and the questions Achan presented to us always had practical relevance, and it challenged us to think about it more deeply. And there have been good feedback about the summary which Achan says while concluding the class. It has really helped those who take notes while listening to the classes. And we are very happy that we had you as our Bible class instructor this year, Achan. On behalf of MMBS of our diocese, I thank you for your time, patience, and effort spent in taking these classes for us. And may God bless you, Achan, your family, Kochima and daughters, and the parish you serve, and in all that you do to glorify Lord's name. Thank you, Achan. It has been a blessing. Today, Bible was read by Manju Acharma Philip from St. Gregorio's Church, Austin. Manju is an active member of our Diocesan MMVS Prayer Cell. And as many of you may know, she is a vibrant and excellent speaker. And you may have heard her speaking in many of our conferences in the past years. Thank you, Manju, for volunteering to read Bible. Appreciate your time and help. Announcements next week. Tomorrow we will not be having Bible class. Next week onwards, on every Wednesday and Thursday till August 13th, we will be having a series of devotional talks which we have arranged as part of our Bible reading month. As you all might have seen in the email which was sent, from today onwards, from 15th July till August 14th, we are observing it as MMVS Bible Reading Month, and it will conclude with our MMVS Day celebration on 15th August with a virtual conference. So please plan to attend that conference. More details will be shared in the coming weeks. That's all for announcements. Acha, would you like to say a few words?
I would definitely. Rupa, first of all, thank you as well as PC Georgetown for allowing me and giving me this opportunity to discuss Acts of the Holy Apostles chapter 15 through 28. First of all, sincere thanks to both of you as well as the other office bearers of MPS of our diocese. Thanks to Tirumeni for allowing me to continue with this class. Secondly, I want to say big thanks to Gina, who raised a question as well today. Gina was the one who encouraged me to do the summary at the end. She was very quiet all these days about that, but I need to acknowledge that. That made this class even better. Appreciate you, Gina. Thank you very much for reading, actually chanting the Bible on one of these days as well. I want to thank all those who have taken extra pain to chant the Bible, read the Bible or chant the Bible, whichever way we want to call it. Really, really appreciate. Some of them even read without much notice. And really appreciate your willingness to participate and play the game with. Really appreciate that. And thank you very much to all those who have participated and learned with me. Whenever I try to teach something, I am also learning. So this was an opportunity for me to learn the Acts of the Holy Apostles one more time. Thank God for that. And one last thing, and that is many of you know that I have responsibility for the Sunday school as well. I really request the prayers from all of you because we are trying to revise the textbook. It's a huge and Herculean task. Need the prayers, need your support. Many of you are teachers of Sunday school, I know. Thank you very much for your ministry as Sunday school teachers as well. And so thank you very much for all, and we have a diocesan level OVBS coming on 25th of this month, that is Saturday after the next. So please make all your children register for OVBS if you have not yet. Thank you very much once again. God be with you and bless you. May the intercession of Saint Paul and Saint Luke and Saint Peter and all the saints be with you all. Thanks again. Can we conclude with a prayer, Rupa?
Yeah, thank you, Esther. Yeah, we can wind up the class with prayer.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts and sins. We have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. In the love of God the Father, praise of the only begotten Son, communion, dwelling in the Holy Spirit, be upon us all, from now on, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Acha. Thank you, Manchu. Thank you, everyone, who joined our class this evening. Bye. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.